we're in Matthew, and we're in chapter 8. So beginning in verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus answered it. He marveled and said to those who follow, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. And when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirit with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Father's Day. Pat Williams wrote this book called Winning with One-Liners, and he said this about Father's Day. He said that it is one time of the year when I get complete obedience from everyone of my family. I tell them not to spend a lot of money on me, and they don't. That we can count on. But you know what else we can count on? We can definitely count on the loving touch of our Heavenly Father, which is always there, which never, ever lets us down, that is always consistent, that is always loving, that is always true. And He sent His Son, Jesus, so that we, as sinners, could be healed. That we would have a power that only us Christians would know of. That it's a wonderful thing that we have within our lives, a Savior that cares for us, that loves us, that enables us to get through some of these tough times in our lives. And as we look at chapter 8 here, and we look at leprosy, here's a definition of leprosy. Leprosy is a chronic, mild infectious disease caused by what is known as Mycobacterium leprae, affecting the peripheral nervous system, skin, nasal, and variously characterized by ulcerations. and loss of sensation that sometimes leads to traumatic amputation of the numb parts of the body. When the Jews looked at leprosy, they looked at it as something that was unclean. So when they look at a leper, that was in somebody that they would go up and they'd actually touch. It was contagious. Matter of fact, the Jews would say if you were a leper, there was probably something wrong with you spiritually too. They equated it to your spirituality. And they said if you're a leper, God is probably unpleased with you. There's something within your life is the reason you've been inflicted with it. And leprosy wasn't something that man had a handle on. It wasn't something that was curable. Man could not cure it. Matter of fact, if we look at 2 Kings there, 5:7, we look at the response of the king after he gets a letter about Naaman the leopard. And it says, "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me.'" He was actually a little upset there. And he said, "Am I God that I would heal?" The king knew that there was no other way to heal a leper than other than a supernatural touch from God. You know, as we look at this, the first thing that the leper does, right, in verse 2, it says, "Behold, the leper came." He came. Why would he come? He was a leopard. He understood the consequence of leprosy. He understood the uncleanness of it. He understood everything about it. But why did he come? It was a foul disease. The appearance wasn't very nice. A lot of times the skin would turn a whitish color. It would be itchy. He was uncomfortable. Could you imagine leprosy today? In this place today, being with the heat and everything. You know, it just probably stirred up a little more and maybe become a little bit more agitated and itchy. But it seldom would affect the face. But he came. He came because he knew there was no other hope. There was no other hope for him. He saw something in Jesus. He had to see something in Jesus. As the king said, "Am I God?" He must have saw something in Jesus as if he was God. And he was. So he went to him for that reason, because he saw that Jesus was actually God. Because inside of man there was no hope, but outside of man there was God, there was hope. Even the king would say that. So he came as he was. I think that's important to us. As we come to the king, as we come to the Lord, right? We come as we are. Don't be phony with the Lord. The Lord can see through it. Even though the leprosy perhaps wasn't on his face, the Lord understood the disease that he had. He understands us. He understands the disease that we have, it's sin. We don't have to cover it up. We can come to him and he'll touch us. And it says that he came to him and he worshipped him. There was something about Jesus that was worshipful, right? That it made him want to worship him. So secondly, he would worship him. And he came because he believed. He believed that Jesus had the power to heal. He believed that Jesus was God and that he desired to get healed from God. He was willing to come. And he had to believe that Jesus was willing to heal him. It says there in verse 3, "Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, 'I am willing to cleanse.'" Isn't it nice to have a Lord that's willing to work in our lives? Often, he's willing and we're not. But he's willing to cleanse. And it says, "I am willing to be cleansed." And immediately, the leprosy was cleansed. And the Lord doesn't mess around, does He? When He wants to do a work in someone's life, it's immediate. He doesn't waste any time. He just does it immediately. And we see that even in our salvation story, how the Lord convinced us of His goodness. We accepted His goodness. And He makes us that new creature in Christ. What an awesome thing that we are able to be a new creature in Christ. He doesn't allow us to wallow in our sins, though He doesn't want us to wallow in our sins, though sometimes we're more willing to do that than to give it to Him. See, if it would be kind of crazy if this leopard saw Jesus and said, hey, He's God and He can heal me from this, but He never went to Him. He never went to Him and He never discussed with Jesus, hey, you know, I got this awful disease, leprosy, and could you heal me? That would be foolish, wouldn't it? It'd be almost as foolish as if we got some disease and we said, hey, you know what? There's a cure for it, but we're not going to go there and get the cure. However, we know the cure for sin is Jesus. Yet we wallow in our sin and we don't do those things. We don't go to the cross and go to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me and get me out of this sin. Help me get out of this sin, Lord. Forgive me. See, the prerequisite for healing of this leopard was willingness. He had to come. Even though he didn't look real good, he had to come. You know? Sometimes we don't look always real good, you know, but Jesus says, just come as you are. You know, a sick person doesn't go to, or a well person doesn't go to a hospital, right? A sick person does, right? So you don't go there as a well person to get sick. You go there for a sick person to get well, right? Jesus says, come. And there also had to be a recognition from the leopard that there was no other way. The king couldn't heal him. The medicines couldn't heal him. The doctors couldn't heal him. His immune system was failing him. But there was only one hope. John 14:6, right? He's the way, the life, the truth, the way, and life. Something like that. You can look it up. It's all in three parts. But what's interesting here to me, one of the things when Jesus heals him and touches him, he says, see that you tell no one. And that kind of seems a little strange to us, you know, because we say, wow, you know, the Lord just did this in my life. I want to go out and tell everybody. But I think Jesus wanted his testimony to be solid. So he asked him a few things here to do. He said, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer a gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So he said, proceed, don't tell anybody, I want you to go to the priests, and I want you to show them. Because it was something that they had to do, right? They had to go before the priest, and the priest had to declare them to be clean. It makes a difference, you know. It's kind of like a business today. They call out outside accounting or auditing firms, and the business gets audited by this outside firm. And you've probably seen the ISO 9000 or you've seen some sort of certification that people get. Well, when other people in industry look at them, they say, wow, they must have good quality. And we know there's somewhat of a facade, in a sense, behind all that stuff. But the bottom line, they're certified, they're accredited. You know, like your accreditations for colleges, for private schools, for programs. When you're accredited, people look at you a little differently, you know. So for what Jesus is saying here, I want you to go get accredited by these priests. I want them to tell you that you're clean. That you're clean. That the proof is right there. Yeah, you're clean. He's free of this leprosy. And so it wasn't over for this man because, I mean, the easy thing for him was to go and do whatever, right? Go out and tell his friends about what happened to him. But he probably had to walk 40, maybe 50 miles to the where his priest was in order to get claimed clean. And this had to take place because without this restoration, there was no restoration to people. He couldn't go into the crowds. He couldn't go into the synagogues. He couldn't go anywhere, right, until he was declared priest or clean by the priesthood. And the last thing there was that he was to offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony, and that was a gift of thanksgiving. It was a thankful heart to give praise to the one that had done this to him. He had been, he went to the priests and they said, yeah, he's clean. And then he went in, he was able to go into the people and they said, what is this that's happened to you? And he said, it's all God. It's all God. And we should never take credit for the Lord, for what the Lord has done for us. You know, this, you might have caught it Friday night with, it was kind of unbelievable to me because as I was watching the guy walk the tightrope across Niagara Falls, did you guys catch that at all? Or, yeah, it was pretty cool, you know. Though my heart was beating for him because I was like, man, even though he had that thing on, and if he fall, he would just, you know, drape there. But, man, my heart was like, ch-ch-ch-ch. There's something about that. It just kind of made me a little nervous, you know. And as he walked across, the amazing part to me was he was talking to his father. He was talking to his father, and his father was saying, okay, son, try this. And he was giving him advice because they were all kind of daredevil family, right? And I think his grandfather had died doing it, you know, years ago when they didn't have the harnesses. And the amazing part to me was when he was walking across, every once in a while you'd hear, Jesus, right? And wow, did I just hear what I heard on ABC? And every once in a while you'd hear, thank you, Jesus. And you'd hear, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And you'd hear this from this guy across national TV, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. I bet ABC never knew that. But see, he and they showed him right before he got onto the wire praying with his family and stuff. And you know, that happens a lot, so you don't necessarily even as Christians think much of it. But the testimony's there. See, the testimony is that God was within his life, working within his life, and he was doing this thing to give glory to God, whatever it was. And you think about, big deal, the guy walked across this, whatever, 75 ton of wire, right, across this length of quarter of a mile to get to the other side or whatever the length was. And you think, what's the big deal about that? Well, it wouldn't have been a big deal to me at all. Matter of fact, I was just watching it just because we got home, right? And it was got the kids to bed, and we were like, hey, you know, let's turn this on and just watch it. And, you know, everybody's talking about it. Let's watch it. It wasn't a big deal to me until I saw him praise the Lord. And I'm thinking that more than just me grabbed that, right? More, you know, it's awesome to hear the name of Jesus being glorified in this world. And it was unexpected. It was unexpected of the of ABC, I'm sure of it, because they probably would have never allowed him on there if they knew all this was going to take place. But see, he didn't say, wow, thank you for all the you know, he wasn't saying, wow, I did all this, I walked this line, and it was all my preparation, and he was giving the Lord the glory as he walked across it. It was kind of a neat thing. And just as we do, right, as we walk in this life, we should give the Lord the glory. Lord, thank you for putting me in this tough situation. Thank you, Lord, for placing me perhaps where I would have never went yet. You placed me there, and you received the glory. Just giving thanks to the Lord. Verse 5, Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, and Capernaum was a place of center of ministry, in a sense, for Jesus. A lot of things came out of there. Matter of fact, Matthew 9:1 would say there that it would call it his own city. refer to Capernaum as Jesus' own city, so it was the center of his ministry, and that's where things took place for and came out of for Jesus. And it says it had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and pleaded with him. A centurion was a Roman soldier, and that Roman soldier had, as the name suggests, 100 soldiers under him. And it was interesting because as we looked at verses 1 through 4, we get the picture of this man that was plagued with leprosy as being one that was a Jew, because he had to go to the priests, right, and be claimed clean. But now we look at a centurion, a Roman soldier, as a Gentile. And there's a specific message here, is that Jesus, he doesn't discriminate. He doesn't discriminate. If you come to him, if you want to be a part of his kingdom, he'll bring you in. But it's got to be our willingness to come to him. Just as a leopard came to him, just as a centurion came to him, we have to. But the centurion here says to the Lord, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed and dreadfully tormented." He certainly could have went out and got himself a different servant. He certainly could have went out and done that, but he didn't. He pleaded with the Lord. He asked. He had a heart for a servant. He had a heart for somebody that worked for him. And I always pray that, "Lord, give me a heart for these guys that work for me. Let me be there for them. Minister to them," And he had a heart for his servant. And when he asked the Lord this, he wasn't asking him. He was pleading with him. He wasn't demanding. He wasn't commanding the Lord. "Lord, do this." That is not our place. Our place is to ask the Lord for somebody. So often when our loved ones get sick, we just want them to be healed, right? That might not be the will of the Father. He might have a plan that is far beyond ours, and that's what we want. We want that plan that's far beyond ours. But he pleaded with him. He didn't demand it as if he deserved it, or as if his servant even deserved it, but he pleaded with him. And verse 8 tells us that the centurion answered and said, the Lord said, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said to him, "Lord, I am not worthy." Showing us a humility that we need to come to the Lord with. "Lord, I know I'm not worthy of this. However, I'd like to ask you this. I'd like to see what you think about this, You might have heard it said that humility is the key to God's heart to unlock his mercy. I'll read that again. Humility is the key to God's heart that unlocks mercy. Something about humility within our lives, the Lord sees it and it releases his mercy. When we come to him, with a humble heart. And then the Lord would say of him in verse 10, he would say, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Jerusalem." Remember, the Lord asked him if he could come, and he said, "For I," in verse 9, "for I also am a man under authority," and he goes through all this. And when Jesus heard this, he was marveled and said the following, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such faith, or not even in Jerusalem." He was just asking the Lord to speak the word. In the bottom of that verse 8 there, it said, "But only speak a word and my servant will be healed." He had faith in such a way that he said, "My servant doesn't even have to be present, Lord, for you to heal him." And so often we pray for people, right? We pray for people and we think that somehow that a certain person or a pastor, if they pray over him, maybe they'll get healed. But the Lord wants your faith to be in such a way that you can be miles and miles away from somebody and they still would be healed. Right? As we prayed for the Browns this morning, as they're traveling up in Maine, right? We're not there with them. We're just praying for them right from here, right? We have faith that the Lord is going to keep them and is going to bless their day, right? But we're not there with him. And he says, this guy has great faith that he would think that I could cure, that he would believe that I can cure from a distance and with a word. He said, just speak a word, Lord. In a sense, I don't care what it is, just speak a word. And the Lord was wowed. Jesus marveled at him. Don't you want the Lord just to marvel at you? Say, wow. You want to blow the Lord away? Just believe in him. Believe that it's possible. Believe that he's possible. Believe that he can do what he says, and he does it. Believe that he can heal you. That he can help you. Yep, it says in verse 10 there, it says, not even in Israel, not even in this country, not even in this nation that I had chosen to work through, not even in them have I found this faith. After all that I've done, as I've led them out of Egypt, as I've led them across the Jordan, even them, I haven't found anybody this faithful. In verse 11, and I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Many will come outside of the boundaries of Israel, outside of the Jewish nation. There will come people that will have faith in them, that will sit down where Abraham, the Jewish leaders, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the kingdom, they'll be there with them. But the sad thing he says in verse 12 is, but the sons of the kingdom, speaking of Israel, will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, only because they didn't believe. See, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile, you got to believe that he'll perform, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Romans 11:20 says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. So because of the unbelief, we're broken off. We don't experience the fullness of Christ in our lives. When we have unbelief, we don't experience who he is fully and completely as the Lord would have us to do. We have to believe that it's possible. Just as the centurion believed that it was possible and Jesus said, go your way. Go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And so Jesus would heal his servant. Now when Jesus, in verse 14 there, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. In Mark 1, verses 29 through 31 gives us a different look at this, which I think is important to understanding this verse. It says, now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon, which is Peter, and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, laid sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. In the King James, that last portion of verse 30, where it says, "But Simon's mother-in-law laid sick with the fever," says, "and anon," which means quickly. That they told him quickly. They didn't wait around, and they didn't just ponder. I wonder if we should say anything to Jesus. I wonder if we should bother him. I don't know how many people come to us actually and say, "I know you're busy, but I was wondering what you think of this." When you guys come to us, you don't have to say that, because we want to be busy before the Lord, right? We want to be in this work here. You don't have to feel like you're putting this out. You know, you can call us anytime, right? You can call me anywhere from 7 o'clock all the way to, say, 10 o'clock, and from 10 to 7 you can call Karen. I'm just teasing. You can call us anytime, right? You don't have to feel like you're putting us out. And Jesus doesn't want us either to feel that way. But they came when they knew that there was problems within Peter's house, that the mother-in-law was sick. They came quickly. They came immediately. And here in verse 15, he touches her hand. But interesting enough, in this Mark chapter 1 here, it says that he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. This wasn't a normal touch. This wasn't as we would touch people, you know, or lay our hands on, or maybe even hold the hand. You know, sometimes when we go visit somebody that's sick, we often hold their hand. But this wasn't the case. See, this was a different hold, this or touch. This was something that had action behind it. This was something that was supposed to uplift this person. It was a consoling touch, yes, but it was also a way of lifting her up onto her feet as he healed her. As he was healing her, he was pulling her up and getting her into position, into the position that she would be useful to serve the others. I always think of this when you're watching a ball game, say the NBA playoffs are on right now, right? Notice when somebody hits the floor, what happens? The enemy or the opposing team doesn't come up and pick that player up, right? It's the teammates that come. It's the friend that comes and gives that person a hand and picks them up. Just as we are to Jesus. When we're down, when we're out, there's Jesus. And he grabs us by the hand. It's a action there. It's a touching, yes. But it's more than that. It's a helping up. And so she arose, and she didn't rise and just stay stable on her feet and say, "Thank you, Lord, I am now on my two feet, and that's good enough for me." But she rose to be a servant. She was called from inactivity into activity. And you know what? I think it was her choice to do that. So even though Jesus picks us up, he still continues to give us a choice whether we're going to be active for him or we're going to be dog lazy, right? And so for us, it's an encouragement here to, as the Lord touches us, as the Lord helps us up, not just to stand there, be dumb on our feet, right? But be doing something for him, to give him the glory. Remember the leopard, giving him the glory. How do we do that? We do it through, you know, the means that he puts before us. As he tells you to move, we move. But he touches us. And when Jesus touches us, see, there's an apparent difference in our lives. There should be an apparent difference in our lives. We shouldn't say, "Well, we're glad we got through that, and I'm glad the Lord got me through that and let it end right there." We should take action. We should be encouraged to take action. We should always want to please Him. We should always want to serve Him. And sometimes serving Him means serving others. And we've seen that done in this church. And in cases we haven't seen it done, I'm sure. Right? But the encouragement here is, as Jesus lifts us up and strengthens us, let us not forget it. Let us go serve Him. But it's a sad thing when Jesus lifts us up, He puts us on our feet, and we grow stagnant. We have varicose veins, in a sense, right? We don't move. But His touch is wonderful, and only Jesus can do things such as this, can heal the sick. All these miracle workers on TV, whether they're legit or not, it's Jesus that heals. Nobody else. It's just Jesus. Jesus that touches. Verse 16, and when the evening came, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Most likely this time here, the evening, is denoting that it's the evening after the Sabbath, because we know that there would be no Jew at this time that would bring Jesus somebody to either heal or to call out a demon during the Sabbath hours. It was against the Sabbath. So most likely, this is at the Sabbath time, and the Jews were now, it was evening, and they were starting to bring those that needed healing to them. Luke 4:40 says, when the sun was set, all those that had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Him. And He laid His hands on them, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, You are the Christ, the Son of God. And He rebuked them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that He was the Christ. The thing that touches me here is that sometimes, just as the Jews would not do any of this, would not bring the sick to Him on the Sabbath, we are similar in nature. Is that sometimes we come to church and we don't want to disrupt the service, in a sense, which I don't want you to necessarily to be crazy and disrupt the service. However, there's a time, and I believe the Lord can heal. And we're afraid to do something abnormal and out of the ordinary and say, hey, you know what, if you've got a sickness, why don't you come forward, we'll throw some oil on you and pray over you and do as the Scriptures have told us to do. But sometimes the religion gets in our way. And so often we see something and we don't do it because, well, we got church. I got a good friend that one Sunday, he came in, I don't know if it was exactly planned this way, but he came in to teach and he said, we're going to do something different. We're going to go apply the Word. You know, Mrs. So-and-so over here needs something done at her house. This guy needs his lawn mowed. We're going to go do it. We're going to go apply the Word to the family of God. We're going to go serve people. He wasn't afraid to interrupt the religion, you know, because God's not crazy about religion anyways, right? He wants you. He wants that relationship with us. He wants us to know Him, to live our lives for Him. See, when we get touched by the Lord, it's hard to hold back. It's hard to hold in the reins and not do what He's called us to do when our lives have been changed. But here it says that He casted out the spirits with a word again. It's with His word. One word, logos, He casts out the demons. God's word changes our lives. We have many of God's words. It can change our lives if we allow it to, right? If we allow the Lord to work in our lives, to speak within our lives, His word changes our lives. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. He did it. If you'd go to Isaiah 53, we'll read through a few verses there, starting with verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as if we were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely He has bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this prophecy that he says here is that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah. He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. The sad thing is that often this is not realized or fulfilled within our own lives, that He would take our infirmities. We somehow want to hang on to our infirmities, but He says, I've taken them. Why do you want to hang on to them? But it's a tragedy for us Christians to continue on this road of hanging on to things, hanging on to the infirmities, hanging on to the sickness. He's already done it. It says that he bore them. He already took them upon Himself. Yet we continue to hold on to them. I think in my own life that's a tragedy when I do that, because then I don't allow the work of the Lord to work through me. One thing you get out of all this, right? The leopard, the centurion, the sick mother-in-law, and even the demon possession, is that Jesus touched. He touched, and it was in a special way. It was an uplifting touch. It was something that was not soon forgotten. Right? And sometimes I think in our lives, when the Lord touches us, how soon we forget what He's done to us. But it's not supposed to be that way, see. He's grabbing our hands. He's pulling us up. And we're not supposed to forget what He did for us. Also, something in common here was that there was a measure of faith. There is faith in all this, right? There's faith in that leopard that came to him, just as he was, to get healed. There was faith in that centurion to ask from afar, in a sense, for Jesus to heal. And I think there's a lot of faith in Peter's. And there took a lot of strength on Peter's part to actually want his mother-in-law to live. That was a joke. You guys need to woke up. My mother-in-law is not even here to insult, so I had to. Hopefully she listens to the tape, but it takes a lot for us, right? There's faith that's involved in this, to believe that the Lord's going to do it, to believe that the Lord's going to do it. And also the willingness of the Lord. Hey, there's a willingness that the Lord has, and He's willing. In all these accounts, Jesus was willing. When He saw the heart, He was willing. It's like, okay, these guys believe in me. They trust in me. I'm going to do it. Even with the Jews that came after the Sabbath, They were maybe a little nervous not to do it during the Sabbath, so they came afterwards. He still honored them. He still did a work there. I guess the question for us is, are we going to go to the Lord? Are we willing to? Are we willing to go to the Lord and just disclose what's secret in our lives? What may be not even apparent to others. They look at us and they think, he doesn't have leprosy. But we do. Because it's hidden. Are we willing to ask? Right? Are we willing to pray to the Lord? Every other Sunday we have the prayer meeting, right? Handful of people show up. Are we willing? Are we willing to do that? That's where it starts. I'm telling you, if you want to see something happen in this church, you got to allow the Lord to get in on it. If you don't allow the Lord to get in on it, it ain't happening. If you want to see VBS work outside of our hands, you know, that's the one thing I try to always, you know, Lord, what have you told me to do? And just do it and not worry about it. Allow him just to do it, right? But we got to ask him. And then we got to trust him. We got to believe that he's going to perform it, that he's going to do it. We don't have to go out searching. I'm not saying any of them things are bad. All right, I was telling Jeremy this week that we were. I'm going to start this book. It's called the. A friend of mine gave it to me. It's called the invasion by the Holy Spirit. It talks about the Wales revival by Evan Roberts. Right? He didn't write the book. But in the early 1900s, there was a revival in Wales. And I've read other things about the revival over there, but there's often a time when he preached to nobody. The Lord called him to preach, and he would go preach to nobody. See, that's kind of foolish, isn't it? In the eyes of many, eyes of the world, absolutely foolish. But he would stand before nobody and preach because the Lord told him to. And we would say, why? Why not close the doors? And then things started to happen, see, because of his obedience. And because of the Spirit of God was moving. And I remember this one instance when a guy came in and he stood in front of Evan. And he said, why am I here? And there was no other purpose for that guy being there other than the Holy Spirit led him to that building. And the revival broke out.